Welcome to the Word of Life Tabernacle podcast, where we know one word from God can change your life today. From wherever you are listening, we hope you are encouraged by this week's message.
Those of you that have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. Tonight I'm going to teach from the subject, living the faith regulated life. And I'm using as a subtopic, walking on the word. Walking on the word. Anytime you step out on God's word, he won't let you fall. I think Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 says, God is upholding all things by the word of his power. Not by the power that's in his word, the word of his power. If it was the power that's in his word, that means there might be some power in some other source. But by the word of his power, that means all God's power is invested in this book, the word of God. Amen. And thank God we can walk out on any promise of God, and God will not let you fall. The word will not fail you. But faith is a regulated life. Just like when we're talking about regulated life, we're talking about things that's under regulation. Matter of fact, let's just start off. What do it mean to regulate? So we'll know what the faith regulated life is. Regulate, to regulate. It means to have rules, limits, actions, or actions that cannot be violated or surpassed. You know, rules, limits. You know, we have a speed limit. Regulation, speed and regulation. You can't go out here and do 85 in a 35 mile an hour or 25 mile an hour school zone. There are consequences. These things cannot be violated. You cannot suppress certain speed limits, you know. In the state of North Carolina, I think where we have most people on Piedmont Natural Gas, or, you know, there are regulations. They regulate gas prices, not only natural gas, but at the pump, that you can only charge so much. You cannot surpass certain regulations. There are laws or rules. And faith has regulations. There are certain things faith would not allow, faith does not do, actions, things that faith never says. You know, faith is controlled by the word of God. Faith has a character. The character of faith is to believe God. And when you're, you know, talking doubt and fear and saying things out of your mouth inconsistent with the Bible, you know, we'll say a real man of faith, he's out of character. Why? He's a man of faith. Faith has regulations. Amen. Now, that don't mean you can't break them. It just means if you stay in those regulations and let faith, the word of God, regulate your life, you're going to have victory. Praise God. Thank God that faith has regulations. You know, it draws lines, and it says, you know, the Bible says, by stripes ye were healed. And it just says, I will not go beyond. You know, there's limitations. What we call boundaries. There's certain things faith won't let you walk out into, won't let you say, won't let you speak crosswise of the word of God. There are rules, and as a matter of fact, faith is called the law. And I think it's Romans chapter 3. It's called the law of faith, and we're under the law of faith, which means, thank God, there are regulations. There are certain ways that we act and conduct our lives. Matter of fact, Romans 8 chapter 2 says, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. If you're born again in Christ, we're under law. He said, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. So we're under regulations, and it should control the word of God. When we say faith, we're talking about the word of God. When we talk about we walk by faith, we walk by the word of God. They are synonymous. You can't walk by faith without walking by the word of God. Faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you're going to regulate your life by faith, you're going to have a word of God regulated life. I conform my life to this book. And there are certain things I'm not going to do, certain things I will not allow, certain things I will not put up with, praise God, because the word of God says I'm healed. The word of God says my needs are met. And so we line up our life with the word of God. So with that said, let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Very familiar scripture. I think Fred Price made it famous, but I don't want you to read it in the light of Fred Price or some other faith teacher or some other great man of God. I want you to look at the word of God with freshness. Look at what it's saying. In verse 6, and 7, 2 Corinthians 5, 6 and 7. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that where we are home in the body, that just means in the flesh. If you're not in heaven, you're in your body. you're not in heaven where God is. I'm not in heaven. That's why you're streaming tonight. You can see me in my body. He said, then we're absent from the Lord. Of course, we can't be in two places. Praise God. So when we are home in the body, there's going to come a day we will be one with them. There'll come a day that we're going to give up this body and it's going to be a glorified body and we're going to become one with the Lord. But as long as we are here, he's talking about what living in the body while we are here. He said we are confident, for we walk by faith, or we walk by the word of God and not by sight, or you could say our senses. We are confident, willing, saying rather, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Well, that's no big revelation, praise God, but we are home in the body. Amen. And the Bible says we walk by faith. Long as we're in this body, that's what he's saying. We walk by the word of God. I know sometimes faith get mystical. We get lost. Well, we walk by faith. No, we walk by the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that'll come out of mouth. That's how I walk. We live. Now, the Amplified is where I'm getting my message from. Let's read this from the Amplified. He says, so then we are always full of good and hopeful and confident courage, for we know that while we are here, home, in the body, long as I'm alive, you know, Peter talked about, long as I'm in this body, it's going to stir you up. I'm in the body. I'm preaching to you tonight. Paul said, it's more needful that I abide in the flesh. He said, while we are here, home, in the body, we are abroad from the home with the Lord. We ain't there yet that he promised us. Got it? For we walk by faith. Now look what it says. We regulate our lives and conduct ourselves. Faith is a lifestyle. We regulate. There are certain rules and regulations. There are certain limits. There are certain things faith will not allow. There are certain things faith will not allow you to say or do. Faith never goes crosswise against the word of God. We regulate our lives. Our lives are under regulate. I just don't do and say the thing. I have to judge my words and my thoughts. Wait a minute. Did God say that in his word before? My life is under regulation, so my words are under regulation. The Bible says faith without works is dead. So there are certain actions faith will not allow me to do. There are certain things the world will not allow me to do. I'm under regulation. The Bible, for instance, says that we have been commanded to love one another. Well, just because my flesh rise up and I want to cuss someone. No, I'm under regulation. I put my flesh down. Faith works by love. You understand what I'm saying? We conduct our lives. There are a lot of people who think living by faith just means speaking some words when you get in trouble. And outside of church, they just live any type of way. They conduct their lives anyway. No, they're not under regulate. We regulate our lives. We regulate our lives. There are limits, there are rules, there are laws, there are things that Paul, one of them is the anointing. He said, hey, the anointing constrains me. My love for Christ constrains. You know, there are certain things I won't do and say because I know it affects the anointing. I'm under regulation. Now, everybody don't regulate their lives. There are a lot of people that just say I'm saved and live and say and do anything who call themselves Christians. But we're talking about living the faith-regulated life. Notice that's what the Bible said. We walk by faith. We regulate our life and conduct ourselves. It changes how I act, my conduct, how words I speak, how I talk, and how I think. By our conviction of the belief, respecting man's relationship to God and divine things, for we trust and holy favor, with trust and holy fervor, thus we walk not by sight, but or appearance. Why? Our lives is under regulation. He said we don't walk by sight nor appearance. That's all I need right there. That's the way we don't walk by. Why? My life is under regulation. So it's a lifestyle. It's not a movement. It's a lifestyle. First statement I want to put up is that faith then, the faith-regulated life, thoughts, words, and actions are all controlled by the word of God. That's the faith regulated life. We say we conduct ourselves. So faith only thinks the word. Faith, the renewed mind, anything that comes up, casting down thoughts and imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, or faith, the word of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. So I got to regulate my thought life. I got to regulate my words. The power of life and death is in my tongue. The Bible, Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 12, I think verse 37, by the words of your mouth shall you be justified, and by the words of your mouth shall you be condemned. Well, I don't want to speak words that's condemning and convicting me. I'm under regulation. You understand? So my words, my thoughts, and my actions. If you believe the word of God, you got to align your you say you heal, act like you heal. Walk like you heal. I'm under regulation. A lot of people, when they see, we use this loose term of living by faith, and I see people living, saying, doing anything, and their lives are not under regulation. In other words, we're talking about discipline by the word of God. That's all I'm saying. That's a faith-regulated life. It said, what does the word say? I'm going to align my thoughts, my actions, and my words are going to be controlled by the word of God, as long as I'm in this flesh. Now, that don't mean that we're not aware of the flesh. It's just like Abraham. Abraham didn't say that he didn't have a body. He just said he didn't consider it. Your body is your flesh. The five physical senses, what we see and hear, we've got to use those things intelligently, but we don't conduct our lives by that. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for and is the conviction of the reality of things that exist that haven't even been revealed to your senses. And so you're going to see right quick, if you're going to walk and live by faith, one of the major things you're going to have to do is put your flesh under. Walk in the Spirit. What is the Spirit? The Word of God. My words are spirit and they're life. Right back to faith. You're lining up your walk with the Word of God. Hallelujah. I can't be controlled by my feelings. I feel sick. I feel sad. I feel lonely. No. Those feelings they violate the word of God. So I regulate my lives. I bring my feelings, my thoughts, my actions into submission to the word of God. I bring my soul, my thing. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Care how I feel. I ain't supposed to be depressed. Too blessed to be depressed. And all that is to bless his holy name. Obviously, your soul have forgotten and forget not. Oh, wait a minute. That's right now. Wow. That's right. He have saved all of my, he saved, healed all of my diseases and saved me from all my iniquities. He's renewed my life. See, it holds to the word of God. It's control. We're talking about living in a control, like a disciplined life. You know what Jesus said about this? In St. John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, he was speaking to those Jews who believed on him. He said, therefore, he spoke to those Jews. He said, if you continue, that's why a lot of people just lie, even though they're in church, we don't see regulation. We say, like, that's a Christian? That's a Christian? Talking like that? Walking like that? Their life is not regulated or controlled by faith or the word of God. Jesus said, if you continue ye in my words, you will know the truth. And you will be my disciples, discipline, disciples, self-control, come on, like me. And you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That's why a lot of people don't continue in the word of God. They let some part of their life, their words, or their feelings, or emotions, or what someone did hurt my, they leave the church. They're not regulated by faith. Faith just will not allow certain things. They have limits, controls. Amen? Now, look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And Paul said this. So really, we're talking about crucifying the flesh. If we're going to walk by faith and live by faith and live by the word of God, your flesh is a direct opposite of the word of God. Your flesh is always in opposition to your spirit or the word of faith. That's why the Bible says, walk in the spirit, the word, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for these two are contrary ones. The flesh is always choosing the road of least resistance. I'm hurting what I see it, what they say. It's all about feeling. But the faith regulated life said, nope, I'm going to crucify that. That's why Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. This is why we have trouble in the church, really. Because we got Christians that haven't crucified the old man. They're born again. They came out of Egypt, but Egypt haven't come out of them. I'm talking about the world. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. In him I share his crucifixion. It is no longer I who live. It ain't Pastor Diggs, but Christ, the Messiah, who lives in me. I'm going to say something that people really don't like to hear. When you become a Christian, it's about dying. Paul said, I die daily. We're not talking about being run over by a car, shot, or stabbed with a knife. We're talking about putting your flesh under, putting on the new man. That's a controlled life. He said, I've been crucified. It's no longer I who live, but Christ, the Messiah who lives in me, and the life which I now live in my physical body. Remember what we said? Even though we are home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight or by our body. He says, I live by faith, by the adherence to the reliance on, complete trust in the Son of God who loves me and gave up himself. He said, and then while I'm in this body, I don't live by my flesh. I live by faith. I live by the word of God. My life is regulated. My flesh has been crucified. Yeah, I still got a body, but I don't let my body tell me what to do. I keep under my body. I bring my body into subjection. My body sometimes want to be sick, but I said, no! That's violating regulation. You're healed by a stripe. I bring my flesh. Paul said, I buffet, I treat it rough. I bring it into subjection to the word of God. When my emotions want to run wild, and, oh man, look at this, and look how I see, and look at no money in the bank account, no, and fear me. No, we walk by faith and not by my body or senses. He said, I don't live by my body anymore. See, before you got born again, man was spirit, soul, and body. And the body was the chief. Because your spirit was not born again, it was dead. So if your flesh said you're sick, you said you were sick. No regulation. If your flesh said you're broke, you said you were broke. Your body lay, your spirit didn't have no power. And your mind hadn't been renewed. If your body said, let's get high, you got high. The body, you were led by your body or by your flesh. Because your spirit was not born again. You understand? And Paul said, when I got born again, I crucified my body. And I walk by faith now. So when you got born again, what happened? Your spirit got born again. Jesus came on the inside. And the Bible says the spirit is always willing, but the flesh, the body, it always want to do the old things, old habit. So then you must, here's the mind, the soul in between. You must renew your mind. And now that your spirit is born again, your spirit said, let's read the word. Let's fast. You are led by the Spirit. Men are led by the Spirit of the sons of God. There's a new sheriff, or supposed to be a new sheriff in town. But what happened, people don't regulate their lives. And you're going to find right quick, if you're going to live the faith-regulated life, you can't listen to your body and let it dictate to you what you're going to do, how you feel. Amen. That's what Paul said. He said, the life I now live in this body. He said, no, I live by faith. Not by my body, of the Son of God, because he's the one who gave himself for me. So faith has regulations. Faith is going to always line up with the word. It's going to speak the word of God. It's going to go after the word of God. Amen. And then that other scripture was Psalms 19:14. We've been redeemed. The Bible says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Amen. We've been redeemed. By the blood of the Lamb. What redeemed mean? We've been purchased. Our healing, our deliverance, our peace, our joy has been purchased by the blood. It's been redeemed. Hallelujah. We got to say so. And so one thing about faith, like I said, it controls your words, your thoughts, and your actions. Here's two of them right there. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of mine heart, there you go, what you're thinking on, your thoughts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. My redeemer. Who's the redeemer? Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law. So faith never speak crosswise of its redemption. It has regulation. I'm redeemed from sickness, so faith does not say, I'm sick. Thank God he became poor. That through his poverty we might be rich. We've been redeemed from poverty. So faith don't say, well, you know, I'm broke, I can't. See, there are limits. When you see, so many people say they're living by faith, but they have no regulation. They speak against their redemption. The Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So faith, I'm redeemed from poverty. I'm redeemed from the hand of the enemy. You know that old devil, he got power. He busy. Yeah, you just put him busy in your life. Every time you say that, faith will not speak crosswise against this redemption. Our job is to resist everything Christ has redeemed us from. Amen. And your words and your, I'm not going to let no thoughts in my heart. He said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. I'm not even going to let nothing in my heart that's crosswise against the word of God. Now, you can't do that unless you're spending time in the Word. To find out what the Word says, renewing your mind. Every day, feeding on the Word of God, doing what Psalms talked about. The man in the first Psalm said, praise God, blessed is the man who meditates in the Word day and night. He should be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither. Whatever he do, he shall prosper. His meditation. You want to know what the words of your mind are going to be? Whatever you let in your heart. That's why God told Joshua, do not let the word of God depart out of your mouth, but praise God, meditate therein. Meditate day and night. Why? Because the meditation in your heart will be the words of your mouth. Because if you meditate on the word of God out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speak. And so when sickness hits your body, instead of responding to the flesh, your life is under regulate, the word comes out. You speak words that line up with your redemption. But a lot of people, they don't take, well, that's why you're defeated. You want a victorious life, then you're going to have to start living the faith regulated, or you can say the word of God regulated life. So God's word, thoughts and actions will always control the regulated life when you're walking and living by faith. Look at Matthew's gospel, chapter 14. Because I hear people all the time talking about faith, I'm just your faith. But then I look at their lives and they say things and do things that don't line up with the word. I'm like, they don't really have a faith regulated life. Now, you can't judge people, but it just lets you know that they're not the light, that their word, their thoughts, their actions are not controlled by the word of God. Your emotions got to be controlled by the word of God. There are ungodly emotions, all types of feelings that come. You have to be like David, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Discouragement comes to all of us. You don't sit there, the faith regularly. No. You have to be like David. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Sometimes you have to preach to yourself. We're talking about regulations. Now, if you don't get in the Word of God, meditate the Word of God, renew your mind with the Word, it's going to be hard to have that faith regulated life because it's natural to respond by the flesh. Most people react by the flesh, offense, feelings, and not their spirit, unless you train your spirit. Paul said, I keep under my body. I who? The real man. I let my spirit, the word, takes ascendancy over my feelings, over my emotions, and how I feel. He said, I'm not like a boxer who's beating the air. He's talking about his body. He's talking about regulating his feelings and his emotion. My God, can't you imagine shipwrecks, stonings, beatings, how he felt about all that? You would have been quit. But he said, none of these things move me. Because faith don't talk or act like that. Hallelujah. Now, Matthew 14. Let's get a little bit into this subtopic, walking on the word. Matthew's gospel, chapter 14, let's look at verse 22 through 31. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship. Constrained means ordered. He ordered his disciples. He gave them an order to get into the ship and go before him unto the other side. And when he sent the multitude away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone. But now the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves. For the winds were contrary. Anytime you stand on the word of God, anytime you have a faith regulated life, it's going to be contrary winds. When you get born again, man, it's just like you've been going downstream. It don't take no effort to go downstream. All you got to do is just float. Everybody sick, everybody broke, everybody sad, no one have hope. We just, old sinners, just on our way, trudging through. Everybody's flowing downstream. But when you get born again and you say, Jesus, it's like turning around 108, and now you're going upstream. Like the salmon swims against the current. It's going to be contrary wind. You're going to be saying things, doing things, acting totally different toward the world. There's going to be contrary wind anytime you're living a faith-regulated life. The Bible says the winds were contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "Woo, it's a spirit, it's a ghost, it's a hank." And they cried out for fear. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. They didn't cry by faith. What was in them came out of them. Straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. It is I. Be not afraid." Peter answered and said, "Lord, if it be not," I ain't too sure. It's kind of dark out here. "I know you saying that's you." He's not totally convinced yet. He said, "If it be thou." Well, he bound Jesus up right here, bid me to come unto thee on the water. Well, what Jesus is going to say is not me. And he said, come. One word. Come. 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 One word. Come. One word. Come. Now, the Bible says no word from God is void of the power it takes to fulfill itself. No word from God. You just got a word from God. Listen, all you need is one word from God. Whatever God tell you to do, the power's in that word to fulfill itself. No word from God is void of power and void of fulfillment. When the angel came to Mary and said, "Hail Mary, you're going to have a son. His name is going to be Jesus." All she wanted to know how it's going to be, seeing that, I have no man. He said, "The Holy Ghost is going to come on you. The seed is going to be the word of God." And once God explained it to the angel, she said, "Be it unto me according to that word." My mind, I don't understand it. I ain't never heard of it before. A virgin getting pregnant. But if you say, "Be it unto," she received the word of God. In other words, no word from God is void of the power. If God said it, then there must be power in it to get me pregnant. So he tells Peter, come. Watch what happens here. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, I don't know why we missed this next little short part. He walked on the water. Peter walked on the water. He didn't. Peter, hey man, he got out of water. Start singing. No, he was walking on the water. Why? What's holding him up? Huh? The word. He's walking on the word. Come. Bible says that God is upholding all things by the word of his power. Now, if God didn't tell you to get out of the boat, don't get out of the boat. Now, this is symbolic. I want to take this a different way, because what Jesus is trying to do is really trying to get Peter to not only get out of the boat. See, you got to quit listening to the boat crowd. You got to walk out on the word. Misery loves company. Everybody else, broke, then, you don't want to step out on that word. What if it go on? I mean, look at them sharks, jaws. It's rough out there. Doom, doom, doom. It's always people, the boat crowd. I remember God told me, and I'm going to use the parallel of Peter's life, when he told me, get out of the boat. The boat is secure. The boat represents security. I was working at a fairly successful yacht company here in North Carolina. Matter of fact, it was probably one of the best jobs in North Carolina, making good money. And I had to believe God, and I finally got the favor to get there, and I felt pretty good, man. I'm making pretty good money. Got a nice little house. I felt secure, but yet God had called me to pastor. And God had called me to preach, and he wanted me to do it full time, but I wasn't totally convinced God could take care of me, and I had little kids and my wife, and what am I going to do? So I, you know, and so God was trying to tell me, come. He wasn't telling me to just step out there and, you know, someone say faith is blind. Faith is never blind. Faith sees the word of God and walks on the word. Ain't no such thing as blind faith. It's word of God faith. And so God was telling me, I felt my security. You know, well, what about my kids? What about this? And what? I'm going to tell you this story before I finish this story, how God did it, because I want to use Peter. Once I get on Peter, I don't want to have to come back and talk to me. And God was trying to move me full-time into the ministry. I mean, I was in the Word. I was growing. But, man, I had these cars. I said, you know, payment. And I was used to a paycheck. And God was saying, come, get out of the boat. Quit trusting in that job. Now's the time. And man, I'll never forget, man, I wouldn't do it. I just wouldn't do it. And I remember when finally, you know, God has a way of getting you out of the eagle nest. So then the boat industry started getting pretty bad, yacht sales, and so we start going on what we call short time. And short weeks. And so they came to some of us, and they came to me and said, Ronald, do you want to, you know, just a short time, you know, you can just work 3 days a week. And I got mad 3 days a week. You ain't telling me, I don't work, I won't do it. Well, you know, and other people taking volunteer layoff, they asked me, I said, no, I got mad. Like, y'all trying to get rid of me. Boy, I got hot. They got mad. I had to put my flesh. You talking about walking in the spirit of faith, regulated life. I got in the flesh almost. And boy, they, okay, calm down. I went out of there hot. I went down to the bathroom, and the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, boy, I'm trying to get you out of this thing and move you into full-time ministry. My true purpose. And that's what God is trying to get Peter to do. Remember, later on, he's going to tell him, you're supposed to be fishers of men. What are you doing in this boat anyhow? But he had got familiar with James and John and Zebedee, and all the time his calling was on the day of Pentecost, God going to use them to change the world. 5,000 so, 3,000 so. And that's where you got to walk out on the word. That's where your destiny is. That's where you got to trust God, have a faith, regulated life. Now that I told you about mine, and we'll make a long story short, I did take the layoff, and man, God met me. God will never tell you to do anything that's going to cause your family and children to suffer. We never miss the beat. Thank God. That's the day I went full-time to church, grew. I didn't take a salary for a long time. I mean, I was more worried about the loss than cost, okay? I wouldn't take, and finally got, but let me tell you, God provided for us, and that's the rest is history. Now I'm preaching to the world. That's been 45 years ago, and the word of God is more secure than any job, any industry in the earth. It's a sure thing. But I had to walk by faith and not by sight, a faith regulated life. Not by waiting to Friday to look at the paycheck. Ain't nothing wrong with that, but that wasn't God's purpose for my life. It was to feed. Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. It was to feed the body of Christ. And I was limited to what I could do working there at that yacht factory. God was trying to bring me in exactly what I'm doing tonight, preaching to you, changing the world. But you have to step out and walk on the word. I believe I'm talking to someone right now. You've been having, you know, discussion about maybe taking this job or not, but you're so familiar with one job, your friend or new, and God is trying to give you increase in promotion. But what if I can't do the job or business or what? You got to step out of now. Whatever he tell you to do, do it. I'm saying get the wisdom of God in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. And so here, he tell Peter, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw, we walk by faith and not by sight. Let me show you something. It ain't just looking at the wind. That's what we're not causing the fire. Never. You can look at the wind. You can look at the paper. You can look at the what's going on in the world. You can look at the coronavirus. You can look at all. Just don't let fear get in you. That's not what caused him to see. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. That's what fear. The thing I feared the most is God. And beginning to sink. Just looking at what's going on all around you and reading the paper and coronavirus and sickness and death. That's not. It's when you let fear The Bible says, and when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sing, he cried, Lord, save me. And this is the good news. Anytime God calls you out of anything, for instance, when God called me out of the secular world, working on a job that I thought was so secure, he's responsible for me now. He ain't gonna call you out and get you out there and say, well, you should, you better go back to that boat. Sure. No, they finally closed it down. They were gonna close down anyway. See, God is not like people. All we know is about our present and our past. But God knows the present, past, and future. And we gotta learn to move out into his purpose, his calling. And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and called him and said, oh, thou a little faith. Little faith? He walked on the water. Have you ran in water in your bathtub? That ain't no little. What he mean? Oh, thou a little burst of faith. Short burst. He had a short burst of. He walked, but he got his eyes. He got out of faith, regulation. And he began to be moved by and controlled by regulate what he saw and felt, and it caused fear to come. So ain't nothing wrong with looking. Ain't nothing wrong with seeing the sir. It's when the fear takes him over. And he said, why did thou doubt? So what God was trying to do, let's talk about this a little bit. I want to take this a little further. Peter stepped out of the boat into his true calling and purpose, which was fishers of men. You know, there's somebody at home tonight, and God's trying to move you. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And if he called you out, he's going to take care of you, even if you fall. Notice the Bible says Jesus reached forth, and he said, Lord, and he saved him immediately. The greatest fear is fear of failure. What if I buy that house and we can't pay for it? What if we get that car and can't make the bed? What if I start that business and go, what if? What? See, you got to know what God has called you to do. You got to walk out on the word. Get the word for it. Because he's upholding all things by the word of his power. None to him that is able to keep you from falling. And I remember the day I left Hatteras Yacht Company and step out and start preaching in a little room in the Y. Trusting God for my salary. Trusting God for my wife. Trusting God for car payment, house payment. Trusting God. And God miraculously began to do things. The step. God deal with us in step. I said this on Sunday. I'm going to say it again. God gives you more on the journey than he ever does before you take the first step. God told Abraham, get out. He ain't seen nothing. He didn't see the riches. He didn't see the cattle. He didn't see all the abundance until he got out. And as he went on the journey, things began to happen. God began to add to him. Are you listening to me? He walked out on the word that Abraham, by faith, he left his father not knowing, but he knew he had an inheritance. Come on, God told Joshua, every place the soles of your foot shall tread upon, you got to step out on my word. I have given it to you. It's yours, but you got to step out on it. You got to step out on the word. And so Joshua, even though there was the giants, the Jericho and the Jordan, everybody, he drove out the Anakins, the Hittites and Jericho. God gave him more when he stepped out. Same thing about Paul after his conversion, praise God. He said, listen, you know, he was Saul of Tarsus, now he's Paul. He's been blinded. He don't know what to do. And then God gives him word, go to a street called Straight. And there it will tell thee. There's a man called Ananias. He'll tell you what you're supposed to do. And then he began to define his ministry, his purpose, his true purpose. A lot of people never walk into their true purpose because of fear. I want to be where God wants me to be. I want to move in his timing. And I learned God gives you more on the journey. We talked about that. The 10 lepers. Go show yourself to the priest. I see you healed. He never laid hands. And the Bible says, as they went, pew, healed. God gives you more on the journey. Many times, well, what am I going to do if I step out? See, fear, the boat represents security and trying to keep you limited. If Peter never would have got out of that boat, he would have known he had a worldwide ministry. Simon, Simon, Satan desired to sift you like wheat, but I pray for your faith that it fail not. When thou art converted, that's coming to change, man. Strengthen the brethren. Henceforth you shall catch men. Oh, Lord God. Come on. Look, Psalms 138, verse 8. Wow. Forgot about the time. The Lord will perfect that which concerned me. God know how to get you where you were supposed to be. And God was trying to get me like he was trying to get Peter. Walk out on my word. Hallelujah. God will perfect that. We ain't perfect yet. You're going to make some mistakes. Peter made some mistakes. He missed it. He denied the Lord. He did a bunch of crazy stuff. He tried to defend Jesus, cut off the servants of the soldier's ear. He did a lot of crazy stuff. But God says, I'm going to perfect that. And the biggest mistake you can make is never attempting to step out. That's a faith-regulated life. I'm a barefoot priest. All I need is a word from God. And when I stepped out and came out of that job, God began to say, all right, go to the Y. He began to perfect that. And I want you to start a Bible study in that little room. I didn't know what he was doing. And people started getting saved and healed. He said, now get a bigger room. And then out of that, and then all of a sudden in 1980, start a church of believers. And I told everyone to leave. Started with three people. Start preaching the word. All I had was a little church. And then God showed me some land over there on Green Street. Said, go by that church. Prophesy. Walk around. Call it your church. And then God began to show me all this problem. Bill. But I would have never got here if I would have stayed in the boat. So God will perfect that which concerned you if you have a faith-regulated life. Thy mercy, O Lord, and do it forever. Forsake not the works of thy own hand. He won't. When he fell down, he said, help me, Lord. And God picked him up. Mm-hmm. Look at Luke 5, verse 8 through 10. And the greatest blessing now, I'm going to walk into the great, and yet faith is always progressive. Every time we get something paid, God said, no, keep stretching, keep reaching, go for more ministry, start a halfway house, start a drug recovery center, buy this, buy that. It's a faith is always progressive. It's progressive. It don't never sit now, just sit back. No, faith is progressive. But when Simon Peter saw this, what happened? Jesus, you remember the story? Here we go about faith-regulated life again. Let me show you. See, faith will put down reasoning and submit to the word of God. We toil all night, we ain't taking nothing. Jesus said, cash in that on the right side. Sometimes we think we're smarter than God because of our degree. Well, now I've been to the fishing industry, and you fish during nighttime because it's the Sea of Galilee, and you throw down the nets at daytime. But nevertheless, watch this, at thy word, a faith regulated life. Sometimes stuff don't even make reason. It don't even make good. But at your word, I got your word. If I got your word on it, come. If I got your word on it, throw down the net. And the Bible says when he did, you know what happened. He became a millionaire that day. And when Simon Peter saw this, he fell down on his knees saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. He said, for he was gripped and bewildered, amazed, allied to terror, and all that were with him at the hall of his dead. He's been in the fist of industry all his life and never bought in a catch like this. Watch this. And so also were James, John, the sons of Zebedee, and partners of Simon Peter. And Jesus said to Simon, have no fear, for henceforth you will be catching men. That's why he was trying to call them out of the boat. And it's always people that want to keep you in the boat. Besides, if you live in this neighborhood, stay in the boat. You know, and all of a sudden God will give you a vision. Say, step out on my word. I want to give you a better house. I want to give you a better job. Better. No, I'll give you. You know this economy. You're going to have to quit listening to the boat crowd. And all the time, Jesus, that's symbolic of his calling. He was trying to get him out of the boat into what you've been called to do. Lives. Man, you eat fish. Fish is good. But souls are what I'm after. Peter, if you love me, preach the word, feed my sheep. Praise God. And many of you, you want to know, well, what is this and that? God is trying to move you out and perfect that which concerns you. But fear will tell you to stay in the boat. Matter of fact, that's my next statement. Step out on his word. Fear tries to keep you in the boat. Man, I was so afraid. I just couldn't see. I was at that yacht company, and I just thought, man, everybody wanted to work there. You know, one of them places I kid about by wearing a little suit, and I always felt like if I ever got that suit. Now, their suit was different. You know, I always thought about when I was a little kid in the barbershop, and you had that blue suit, and, man, they give you them pants, and they had a shirt that matched. It was blue, and then you had that bird in circle, and your white name, Ron. Joe, Bill, man, I felt like if I ever got this, I felt like I got that suit, man. I ain't want to let it go. This is a good job. That was fear trying to keep me from changing the world. And see, there are people connected to your obedience. Pastor Todd, Pastor Rodney, Pastor, a lot of pastors, my wife, my friend. Look at all the people in this church whose lives have been affected, jobs and children, because I step out of the boat. It's not about you. It's about who you call the minister to. The reason God told Josh, he said, you, Moses is dead. Now you get up. Only be thou strong and be thou very courageous. For you shall divide for an inheritance for the people. It wasn't about, it's about the people. Fear will try to limit your influence. Limit the anointing. What God has done in my life and the life of people that have come under this ministry, can't no paycheck, can't no, that you can't even begin to compensate me no job the way God has. Fear will paralyze you. Remember, I've been saying this, I'll say it again on Tuesday night. When you're facing the enemy, there are three positions you can take. When you're facing opposition, enemy. Number one, fight. Number two, flight, run. And number three, freeze. And what the devil wants you to do is either run or just freeze. Don't do no. Oh, what are you doing? That's what fear says, freeze. As a matter of fact, that's what it paralyzes you. You won't step out on the word of God. What if it fails? What if it don't work? Well, God, there is no failure in him. Oh, man, I better move on. I'm kidding. Ooh, I'm out here. Shoot, there's so much I want to say. So you got to, and see if the devil can't get you to run, he wants you to just freeze. That's what fear does, paralyze. Don't do nothing. Just stay in the boat, Peter. Look what his life would have been limited. Psalms 52:22 says this. It says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. See, I had to release all that bills, problem, word. That was fear. Okay, God, I'm going to step out on your word. I'm going to have a faith-regulated life. I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight, not the economy. I ain't looking at this job. I'm not looking at this job, this yacht company as my security anymore. You are my security. And I roll the care of that over on you. And I release the weight of it, and guess what? He will sustain you, and he has for 47 years, and he will never allow the consistently righteous to be moved. Watch this. Made to slip. Well, what if I slip? Peter, come. What if I slip? Fall? What if I fall? Well, I'm responsible for or fail. The number one fear is the fear of failure. What if I start a business and it don't work? What if I start a church and it going? What if I buy that house 30 years? What if I get that new car and can't? Fear of failure. That's what fear does. It will paralyze you. God is saying, step out on my word. There is no failure in God. He will not allow you. Did you get that? To be made to slip. I don't care what enemies want to see you go down. I don't care what your haters want you to fall. He going to fall that. Not God. Why? I'll show you why. Oh, I'm almost done here. I'll show it to you out of the scripture. Go to Psalm 37, verse 23. Whew. Psalm 37. I trust y'all guys getting something at home tonight. I'm telling you something, man. We headed somewhere. You don't want to miss none of these services around here. Look at Psalm 37, because I'm speaking to someone right now. I'm being paralyzed and in fear, watching the economy. He that observed the wind shall not sow. Yeah, been observing. Just all you do is watch TV and this and that. There's never going to be an opportune time to step. When God tells you to move, Listen, there's timing is essential to success. Because when preparation meets opportunity, some things you have to act on right then. Some things you don't get a second chance. Fear will lock you out. The children of Israel got in fear and they fell in the wilderness. And God was trying to move them into the land that was more than enough. They was under curse and they didn't even know it. You know how I know that? Because it felt so normal. Egypt was never enough. The wilderness represented a wild place. There was no water there. That's why God had to bring water out of the rock. There was no fruition there. That's why God had to bring manna and get quails to come. But they got so comfortable because, you know, as long as I get on, pay my bills, as long as I can, you know, do a little meat, a little this. They was under curse and didn't know it. God is trying to move you from the land of never enough to just enough to more than enough. But a lot of people never, because they won't, they stay in the boat of security. And so, look at Psalms 37. We're coming home. Look at verse 23 through 25. Psalm 37, verse 23 through 25 says this. We're talking about the faith-regulated life. The steps of a good man are ordered. Uh-oh, that's that same word. When he ordered Peter and the disciples, go to the other side. He constrained. See, get your orders from God, not from people. And once you find out what God wants you to do, confer no longer with flesh and blood. Once I found out God called me to pastor, and God, I didn't care who didn't believe it. I know what my purpose is now. I've stepped out there. I got my orders, my marching orders. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delight in his way. Though he may fall, there's been some times I've slipped, fall, may, not God, I did. He's not utterly cast down. Why? When God tells you to step out, he's committed to you. He wasn't going to get Peter out there. When he saw the wind and voices, and the Bible says immediately he reached down and saved them. Because the Lord upholds him with his hand. He said, I've been young, now I'm old, and never I've seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging bread. I've never seen God forsake the right. The Amplified puts it this way. It says about the same thing. The steps of a good man are directed, established by the Lord. He will delight in his way and busy himself. God was trying to order my steps. Step out on his word. Step out on his word. Now unto him that's able to keep you from fall. Bringing me into my purpose. Bringing you and I into our destiny. Though he may fall. Yeah, you might make mistakes because we're human beings. Guess what? You're not utterly cast down. For the Lord will grasp his hand and support Peter and all of us. Uphold him. I've been young. Now am I old. And yet I've not seen the uncompromised righteous forsaken nor see begging bread. God will never get you out there and then forsake you. Put my statement up right here as we get ready to close here. God then deals with us in steps of obedience which develop character. Man, I learned so much every step from the little room in the Y to the bigger room to equipment to buying, you know, going over on Green Street and then steps there. See, everybody want to leap and jump. No, it's steps where character, God was building character, teaching me how to trust him. We paid that building off it. We bought these 15 acres to build the first building debt free. And God said, stretch your faith in. We built that little building. So character, steps. We didn't do three buildings at one time. Then he said, do the family life center. And I want you to put treadmills in and put this and put a gym in there and put a basketball goal and put pool tank. And what has got steps? And then God said, now build this building and it'll take you into the millennium. And now character has been developed. Of trusting God. Look at Psalms 119 verse 133 and then Psalms 119 verse 105. Look at this. Establish my steps. Your King James says, order my steps. Come on. Order my steps. Wait on God. Whatever he told you to do, Mary, mother told of Jesus, said, you do it. When you get your marching orders, God is trying. You move out. Step out on his word. Have a faith-regulated life. Order my steps and direct them by means of your word. I see, I'm not just doing something. I find out the will of God, what God wants me to do, and then I step on the word. Come. And when I'm walking on, come. Hallelujah. I cannot be defeated. Let not iniquity have dominion over me. Look at Psalms 119, verse 105, as we get ready to close here. Thy word is a, watch this, lamp unto my feet and a light to my pathway. Now, you're trying to find these paths that lead to the good life. And notice that the lamp is on your feet. The lamp don't shine on all the lamp would show your next step. Every time I step, the lamp is showing me more of the path. Oh, this way. Oh, the lamp. The word is like that. Step by step over the years to where God has brought this ministry into debt cancellation and under anointing and has changed untold lives, and we're affecting the whole world through live streaming now. Some of you know what I'm talking about. We get your emails. But suppose I was still in that little boat. That's funny. I was at a boat factory. I was working for a yacht company. I never thought about it that way. The devil tried to keep me there. And God was saying, get out of the boat industry. And I'll show you. So God deals with us in steps of obedience, which develop character. And let's close with St. John chapter 20, verse 20 through 24. Thank you for live streaming with me tonight. Trust that you got something out of this. God wants you to have a faith-regulated life. Look at St. John 20, and we're going to look at verse 24 through 29. You know the story after Jesus' resurrection. He's shown himself alive to all the other disciples, but Thomas was not there, and we pick it up in verse 24. 20 to 24 says this, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not there when Jesus came, and the other disciples therefore said, we have seen the Lord. We walk by faith and not by sight. But Thomas said, except I can put the print of my nails and put my finger in the print of the nails and thrust my hand in his side. I want to see something. I want to feel something. I will not believe. Huh? What's happening? He's not being regulated by faith. He's being regulated by his senses. And after 8 days, after the disciples were within Jesus, and that's what's good about Jesus. He'll meet you where you are. And Jesus said, I'm not going to leave Thomas in that unbelieving state. And Thomas was with them, and Jesus came specifically for Thomas. The doors being shut, stood in the midst, said, peace be unto thee. And he said to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hand. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it in my side. And be not faithless, but believing. Be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord, my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because you've seen me and felt something, thou hast believed. But blessed are they that have seen and not believed. We walk by faith and not by sight. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. So let me just put up this statement as we close. The faith-regulated life does not depend on the five physical senses or feelings. If you're going to have a faith-regulated life and you're going to step out on the word, I mean, my senses said, good sense said, boy, don't you leave this job. This is a good job. You made it almost $18, $20, and that way back then. And I got sense. I'm under regulation. God is trying to move us out into the miraculous. So the faith-regulated life is not dependent on the five physical senses or feelings. I feel sick. I feel broke. I feel depressed. No, we walk by faith and not by five physical senses. We don't walk by sight. We walk by the word of God. I have certain rules and regulations. I don't care how I feel. I'm healed. I'm getting up. I'm going to preach tonight. I don't care how I feel. Praise God. Healed men don't lay in the bed in the middle of the day. Now, I'm not denying the symptom. I'm just saying I don't lay down under it because I'm under regulation. And those are not faith actions. Let's close with Hebrews 11:1, amplified. Now faith then is the assurance, the confirmation. You can say the word of God is the assurance. Same thing. Faith, the word of God, is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of the things we don't see. That's why the Bible said we walk by faith and not by sight, because what proof do you have? The word that I'm healed. Yeah, but you don't look healed. That's okay. Here's my proof. It is the conviction of that reality. Faith perceives as real fact what has not been revealed to your five physical senses. I ain't felt it yet. We were talking about Abraham. Body old, Sarah womb old. He saw the womb. He felt old. But God said, you're the father of many nations. His faith regulated life. And he had so much faith till he started giving glory to God. You can't wait on your senses to confirm the word. Let the word of God confirm your healing, your deliverance, every promise of God, because faith, hallelujah, doesn't wait on the five physical senses. See it, feel it, take it. You got to step out by faith. Abraham couldn't see his way, but when he stepped out, guess what? God began to show him his destiny. You're the father of faith. Peter, when he got out of the boat, got his eyes back on Jesus, he found his true calling. I can go on and on and on and on and on. But I'm just going to leave it there. Praise God. Get these tapes. Get the CDs. Go over the word. Meditate it. We got a faith-regulated life. I'm going to conduct myself according to the word of God. Now, am I going to make mistakes? Fall? Yeah, of course. But guess what? I was just following the orders. Jesus will be right there to pick me up. And he has. For 47 years, he'll do the same for you. God bless you tonight.